Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1390. The topic is mindset and the title is If at First You Don't Succeed. So what we're going to do today is just kind of talk through just the pathway, the progression of success. Too often when we try to work on a goal, we'll encounter a challenge towards that goal, and then people either think, you know, they quit because it's either this will never work out for me, I'm not good enough, you know, just kind of like a million other things that kind of happen. And the challenge we get is when we start working towards a goal and we encounter an obstacle, we either don't expect that to happen, which we definitely should expect it to happen. It's just part of process. Like anytime you're making a change, anytime you're trying to get to somewhere new, you're having to do something new. Anytime we try something new, there's going to be, you know, pros and cons about what methods we try. And some of the cons are going to turn out to be, you know, things that we have to adjust and account for and make changes to. It's just a normal process of trying to achieve something new. Is you're going to have to do new things. Some of the things are going to work, some of the things aren't. And too often we think, okay, like I'll plan ahead and I'll have everything ready and everything right. Well, it's definitely good to plan ahead, but you're definitely not going to get everything ready and you're not going to have everything right. You're going to make mistakes along the way. Even if you talk to people who have done it before, your path is going to look different than their path because you're starting in two different places. I talk about this with nutrition and training programs all the time, is you'll see, unfortunately, programs are sold based on the end result. Meaning, if you want to become, you know, if you want to get on bodybuilding stage, here's the prep. You know, kind of the training prep, nutrition prep that'll get you to this. So it's a bikini program. You want to, you know, get to bikini competition, you follow the bikini program. If you want to get to, you know, physique competition, you follow a physique program. Same thing with strength. If you want to be an elite powerlifter, you follow the elite powerlifter program. Strongman, same thing. Anything with sports. You know, if you want to be an amazing, you know, baseball pitcher, you follow the baseball pitcher program. Unfortunately, all those programs are set up to where, like, where you want to go. They have the end target in sight, but they don't know where you're starting. All of those programs have a progression set to the point where you have to start that you're not at that end goal yet. So if it's a bikini program, you're clearly doing this program because you're not at the bikini body yet. You know, same thing with all the other categories I said. I'll save you the time of me going through those. But the end result is there. You are here. That program has the assumption, or at least it should, it's just kind of innately how the programs are written, is you're not there yet, follow this program and it'll get you there. But they don't know where you're starting. So if I'm trying to drive to Miami, Florida, but I'm starting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or I'm starting in San Francisco, California, those are very different directions. Probably if you're going to try to drive from California to Miami, the directions are don't do that. Get a plane ticket. Same thing from Pittsburgh. But the idea is where you start is different than anybody else, even to like all personalized, unique levels. And there's the reason why I'm pointing all this out is you can make a plan. And it's good to make a plan. But you have to kind of figure out how you can personally apply that plan. So somebody else can have a plan of what worked for them, but they didn't start where you started. So you might have to start like where you are, kind of converge your way to where they were, or kind of meet in the middle of the process, and then you can kind of finish out. But there's a lot of challenge to starting where you are specifically, getting to that end result. You can take a lot of the elements that you learn from other people, what worked, what didn't work, but there's still the kind of like mixing together of what's right for you. This is why I believe in personalized programming. I don't sell bulk programming because I don't believe for what people want. I know what they want. Bulk program can't do it. It just can't. Like, it can help you get a lot further along. It can give you, you know, a general idea of what to be doing. So there's a lot of benefits to bulk programming, but it's not going to get you that smooth sailing, solves all of your problems along the way kind of result that personalized one-on-one type coaching can. That's why I like one-on-one coaching, because it's more like getting physically fit, reaching your goals, doing all these things like nutritionally, whatever. It's more than just the plan. There's written on paper, you know, kind of like, this is what you should do for training, this is what you should do for nutrition. But where's the reality of that is, how do I schedule that into my life? You know, how do I kind of make those habits a reality for myself? So, for example, I have a perfect nutrition plan. Well, what if it's written, you know, that you're supposed to eat every 3 hours, but you have a job that doesn't allow you to take a break in the middle of the morning? Or you have a job that's unpredictable schedule. You know, firefighter, police officer, things like that, nurse. There, you might not be able to eat at the exact time that program tells you to. So what do? Well, if it's a bulk program, there's no one to talk to. You don't know what changes to make. You take a guess. You hope you're doing it right. You're not sure if you're doing it right. Now you're uncertain. And now you don't have confidence with the process. Same thing with training. I knew a trainer who was like an acquaintance, like a friend of a friend kind of thing. And he sold programming, and he sold it, and it was 4 days a week of training. If somebody could only train 3 days a week, they didn't get an answer. There was no adjustment. It was, you're supposed to train four. Well, what if I can only get three in? Well, you find a way to get four in. Or what if a person says, well, I have more time. I'd like to train 5 days a week or even six. Can I add some things? No, the program's written only for four. It's like, well, why not take advantage of the fact that the people have an extra day? You know, and why not modify the program to where you can reach the same results in 3 days a week versus 4 days a week? Because you can do it. It's just frustrating. Like, there was that person saying, like, no, you have to follow this programming. And 100% was because he didn't want to write other options. He had his program. He sold it for X amount. And he made enough money doing it that if somebody didn't fit into it, he basically said, screw you. He didn't care. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing this for, man? Like, you know, you're making some money, good for you, but you're not helping nobody. Like, you're focusing on the wrong part of this. The part that we should be focusing on is helping people, not trying to make X amount of money while you don't have to do anything because you wrote a program one time, now you get to sell it, you know, thousands of times over. So, unfortunately, I'm rambling a lot, but the idea that I want to get across in today's podcast, now that I'm kind of circling back around, is that you will not succeed at your first try. You're going to try something. Some of it's going to go well, some of it's not going to go well. The parts that don't go well, you've got to make adjustments and then try again. So the title is, If at First You Don't Succeed. That's today's podcast. Well, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to. I don't mean that to be depressing. I just mean that to be kind of raising your awareness and then letting you know that there's nothing wrong with you if you don't succeed on the first try. That is 100% normal. Like, every single person who's been successful has failed along the way. We talked about this in the last Mindset podcast, number 1386, which was a Mindset podcast titled Why You Should Plan to Fail. And the reason why is because you're going to fail. There are things you are going to try that will not work, but it doesn't mean that you can't be successful. So for myself, like, I was thinking through kind of like, what are the things that I've tried that definitely sure as hell did not work the first time or the second or the third. And one of them for me, a big one, when I was younger, I started kind of paying attention to food when I was 15. Unfortunately, I started with being anorexic for 2.5 years. That was dumb. But that's where I started. And then as I learned more and more about food, I wanted to get lean. I wanted to have six-pack abs, get veins everywhere. You know, I kind of really wanted that look. But for the first couple years, when I would try a diet, I overdid everything for myself. I knew what to do for clients as I started working with people and getting clients. But I always thought I needed to train harder than anybody else or diet harder than anybody else. I always took everything to the extreme when it was with myself. I would never do that with anybody else because I knew it wasn't matching kind of the way the body really responds. It wasn't long-term successful. And I was like, I really want you to have this, but have it for life and be happy and healthy along the way. But yet when it would come to myself, I would beat the living shit out of myself. And it's like, well, that was dumb. So I would go through stages, especially when I was younger, where I would diet to try to get super lean, but I would over-restrict my food and I would overdo cardiovascular activity. What happened was this would cause me to flatten out. My muscles would flatten out. A very short version of that just means I'm not storing carbohydrates in my muscles. So my muscles aren't puffy and like kind of as big as they could be pushing out against the skin. So when you get somebody ready for like an aesthetic competition, they want to get on stage doing, you know, bodybuilding physique, you know, those kind of things. They're going to be partially flattened out during the dieting phase because you're trying to restrict calories. So they're never going to have like fully maximized, like fully filled up muscles, which comes from glycogen, basically carbohydrates, sodium, and water. So they're always eating in a deficit. Therefore, their carbohydrates are never fully stored, you know, to mass capacity within the muscles. So their muscles aren't like, it's like, think of it as like a balloon. They're not as inflated. They're not putting as much air into the balloon as it can hold. It's just partially inflated the whole time. Well, what would happen with me is I would flatten out. So I would have absolutely no carbohydrates stored in my muscles because I would either not be eating them because I was an idiot and I thought like I didn't need carbohydrates and they would make me fat. And it's like, oh gosh, so much to learn along the way. But I would restrict carbohydrates, and then I would, wouldn't matter if I salted my foods, wouldn't matter how much water I drank, because if you don't have the three elements of carbohydrates, sodium, and water, you can't have full muscles, so you can't make the glycogen. So if you restrict any one of those three, you're going to get deflated muscles. They're like, you know, underfilled balloons. Well, I would have more muscle fat, I'd have more fat over top my muscles to where I couldn't really see much shape and detail in my muscles. In regards to like seeing a vein or seeing like an indentation into the muscle, there's a fancy word called striations, and you would see like the lines of muscle tissue. I was never that lean. So I only ever kind of felt good if my muscles were filled up, because then at least I could see some roundness in my muscles underneath all the fat. But when I would start to diet, I would lose the fullness of my muscles, but I would still be just as fat as I was. And it would basically look like I got smaller. I would lose weight on the scale, but I would look just as fat as I did when I started. So I might lose 10 pounds. I look and feel smaller, but I still look in fat, absolutely no muscle detail whatsoever. And that would depress me like crazy. So I remember one diet, I went from, 220 down to 190. And at 190, I looked just as fat as I did at 220, but skinnier. And what I never really understood at that time was I didn't stay with the diets long enough. Like I overdid it. I should not have taken out that much calories and shouldn't have done that much cardio. But other than those factors, I never stayed with it long enough to let the body fat truly come off. So then all of a sudden I would be able to see some muscle shape and definition. And then when I reintroduced food again, all of a sudden I'd fill out and I'd see way more muscle detail. So a lot of people, when they diet for competitions, if you think about the stage like 4 to 6 weeks before the competition, there's this stage where you feel flat, there's no definition everywhere, anywhere, and you're like, oh my God, there's no way in the hell I'm going to look in shape by the time I get to the competition. I don't see any details, you know, it's so close, you know, blah, 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 and you get this kind of like weird headspace because you're not looking and you're not able to see that refinement to the details yet. And it's not until maybe the last 4 weeks that starts to show more and more. And then as you start filling the food back in, and then it's all of a sudden like, pow, then it's huge, looks awesome. All these details looks great. But there is this stage of dieting where you've lost weight, you've lost size, but you look just as fat as you did when you started. That is depressing. So I used to think, okay, if I lost 10 pounds and I look just as fat, I must have lost 10 pounds of muscle. I'd freak the hell out, and then all of a sudden I'd overreact, and I'd end up overeating to try to like put the muscle back on, and I'd just gain a bunch more fat. So it was like, damn it, I just kept going through these swings where I wouldn't diet hard and like long enough. I dieted too hard and not long enough, and then when I tried to like put the weight back on, thinking it was muscle tissue, I overate, gained all this water retention back, gained body fat, and I would actually be in a negative cycle of making myself, rather than getting leaner and bigger muscles, I was getting fatter and bigger muscles. And that is frustrating. So it took me a long time to figure that out and learn that. Now, through the process of learning that, I have been able to get myself a lot bigger and a lot leaner. So I started all this when I was 15 years old. By the time I was 18, which was after 2 years, because I started lifting weights at 16. At 15, I would just do bodyweight stuff and over-restrict my food. But at 16, I started lifting weights. By the time I was 18, I was 165 pounds, but fat. There was no veins visible anywhere, absolutely no ab muscles. You could grab rolls of fat around my waist at 165 pounds, 6 foot tall. Now I weigh 283 pounds as of this morning, and you can see the lines of my abs. I'm not like going to take my shirt off anytime soon for Instagram, but you can see they're there. And so I've gained 100 and almost 20 pounds, so 118 pounds, and I'm significantly leaner than I was 118 pounds ago. So I have been successful, but I sure as hell did not start out successful. I would say that I probably didn't fully understand how to diet for myself until I was in my mid-20s. So it took almost 10 years of screwing things up for me to figure out that I didn't need to diet harder than everybody else. I didn't need to train harder than everybody else. I just had to do the same things I did for everybody else. Like, there was nothing, like, extra wrong about me that I needed to be punished harder than anybody else. So that was 10 years of not knowing what I was doing and kind of messing around with things. But now, you know, that I'm 38, I have been able to learn how to do it and learn how to modify my body weight and my body composition now with relative ease. So it started out not successful. Over and over and over and over, I felt extremely frustrated, and I always felt like there was something wrong with my body. Like, my genetics were just total crap, and I was never, ever going to look the way I wanted, ever, ever. But we got there. So it just kept trial and error, kept learning. You know, through that time, I went for an undergrad in health and phys ed, master's in nutrition. I kept training clients, expanding my client experience, got a personal training certification. So I kept learning more things and getting to experiment with clients and myself. So there was a lot of formal learning, a lot of informal learning, like experiential learning, and that helped. I think, like, over the years of training, like I said, when I first started lifting weights, I was 16. After 2 years of lifting weights, when I was 18, I couldn't squat 315, I couldn't bench 225, and I couldn't deadlift 315. But I remember those being, like, numbers I really wanted. So I'd been training for 2 years, and I couldn't even do that. So that was my kind of goal at that time, which would have been, if you look at, like, powerlifting, where you add up your best squat, your best bench, and your best deadlift, it adds up to what's called a total. And that would have been an 855-pound total at 18 years old. I couldn't do it, but that's what I wanted. I was close, but I couldn't quite do it. So I remember thinking to myself, as, like, you know, I had friends. There was females on the female, like, track and field team that could squat 315 in high school, and I was like, damn it. And I can't do it, and I've been lifting weights for 2 years. You know, there's guys I had who could bench, like, friends, male friends, they could bench 225 for, say, a 10. I couldn't even do it for a single rep. And I was training every damn day. I mean, from 16 to probably 20, 21, I don't think I missed a single day of exercise. I literally worked out every single day of the year for, like, 3 to 4 years. So I was super dedicated. I was reading everything I could read, watching all these videos, learning as much as I can. And then my friends who were getting out, going out and getting drunk, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week, and they're, you know, repping out 225 for 10. I'm like, damn it, this is bullshit. You know, like, I work my ass off, and I can't even do half, you know, of what they do. I remember deadlifting. I tried deadlift 315, like, super rounded back. Face felt like it was going to explode. I actually had purple dots all over my face from breaking blood vessels. And I couldn't even do it. And I was just, like, so frustrated. But since then, I have more than doubled that target. So the 855 pounds, I have now, the best squat I've done, like, in sleeves, is 600 pounds. The best bench press I've done is 435 pounds. The bench deadlift I've done is at 700. So I have a 1735 total, which is more than double what I could do at 18 years old. So it might have taken, you know, 20 years for me to get there, but I got there, and I overcame a lot of injuries, like injuries both inside and outside of the gym. So I broke my collarbone, my right collarbone, 3 times, had to have metal plates put in it. I tore all 3 ligaments on the outside of my ankle playing basketball when I was in college, and that messed me up for a while because my foot was all goofy and fell, like, to the side no matter what I did. So I had to train my calf muscle to hold that in place. You know, I've had, like, muscle injuries and tears from when I was younger and I didn't know what proper form was, and I was just punishing myself to try to, you know, to grow, and I didn't understand at that time that I needed food. So for the first 2.5 years, I was anorexic. I would eat maybe one meal a day and try to burn off as many calories as I could. And I ended up tearing, you know, partially tearing a bicep, partially tearing one of my pecs. So I've had a lot of muscle tears. I've had a lot of injuries along the way. But I've still been able to over double my total since I was 18 years old. So that was something that I sure as hell didn't succeed at the first, second, third, infinite time. But I kept working at it. I kept learning. And now I feel successful. I would still like to have bigger numbers than what I just named, of course. But I do feel successful, and I do feel like I've made a lot of progress over the time. And the same thing with business. You know, I when I first started the Brutal Iron Gym in 2011, I was working 50 hours a week face-to-face with clients. I still was then have to write their nutrition plans, training plans, clean the gym, try to go out and get new equipment to build the gym. I mean, and I had all my own workouts on top of that. Jeez, it was. So it was just forever. You know, I remember one time we tried a promotional flyers. We printed out flyers and put out 1,000 flyers around the local town. And we had 2 people bring the flyers back. That's it. Only one of them signed up. So we put out 1,000 flyers on cars, and we only had 1 person sign up from it. And there's been a bunch of other things I've tried business-wise that just have not worked over the years. But the cool part was is some of them did. You know, this podcast was something that I started just because I wanted to have a sense of having a bigger impact. I wanted to try to reach more people. And thankfully, this has worked really well. You know, so I've been able to find a job that I'm very, very blessed to live, to have and to live. So I get to work fully remote now. I train people at my gym if and when I want to. I make good money. I support myself very well and my wife, and you know, so I can contribute to our financial needs very well. So I'm very, very, very blessed towards that. So now it's kind of awesome. Like, I have Brutal Iron Gym. There's a membership here. So everybody who's a member gets to use the place. All my clients who are local get to use the place. My mom, who's a trainer at the gym, gets to use the place. Yeah, so it's nice that, like, don't necessarily need it, but I love it, and it's fun to have, so everybody else can, you know, get benefits from it, and I can train when I want to. But, you know, I'm in an amazing place at 11 years into my business where I'm living my dream and I'm making a living doing it. And I remember when I was growing up, that's something my brother and I have an older brother, and we both pursued our passions as careers. And something we were told all the time was, well, you can either do what you love or you can make money. And that always annoyed me because I was like, why is that the case? You know, like, that can't be the case. That can't be true. I hate whenever there's a belief that something is true, but yet, like, and then that, like, discourages people from trying anything, if that makes sense. So it's like, well, you can either do what you love or you can make money. It's like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? Do what I love and be poor and then have all the stress of not having money? Or do something I hate just so I can have money? Like, who gives a shit about money? I don't want money if it makes me unhappy. And I do understand that money has power and it has usefulness and it's beneficial to avoid crazy stress. So I don't need all the money, but I'd like some of the money. But I would still like to do what I love. And I'm very blessed and very grateful and thankful, you know, to God, to my parents, to everybody who's invested into my life, that I'm at a place now where I do get to do what I love and make a good living doing it. And that's only come from me trying everything I could possibly think of, failing at almost all of it, but kept trying and trying and trying until I found the few things that did work. And that has happened in my training, that has happened in my nutrition, and that with the clients that I have had who have had extreme success, like pro cards, both tested and non-tested, you know, kind of federations, people have elite totals, top 50, you know, national rankings. I've helped professional athletes. I've helped Olympic athletes. I've helped a very high degree of success human beings. And they have all encountered failure along the way. The key was it was moments of failure. They kind of applied this concept of, if at first you don't succeed, and we know that the quote is try and try again. So if at first you don't succeed, try again. That's kind of the quote. What I want to get across to you, the listener, is if at first you don't succeed, don't be surprised. So getting past that initial shock that I started with a plan and all of a sudden some aspects of my plan don't seem to have worked. That's okay. That's normal. That's 100% exactly what's going to happen every damn time you try anything new. Some of the things you do are going to work. Some of the things you do aren't. You're going to have to then kind of adapt and figure out what didn't work, why didn't it work, what can I do, and then make changes and try again. So if at first you don't succeed, don't be surprised. Analyze what worked and what didn't, and then try and try again. It's a learning process. Failures happen along the way. They are opportunities to learn. And it's actually neat because sometimes what you wanted to work didn't work, and you end up finding something that was better. So there's that phrase of like, thank God for unanswered prayers. And that does happen. Sometimes you're going to have a goal in mind. You're going to run into obstacles. It's going to change your trajectory. And then you're going to be like, damn, I'm happy that happened. I'm happy I'm here where I am now. I'm surprised, but I'm happy. And that's where I hope everybody gets to, is a point where if you want to be successful, try. When you run into obstacles, don't be surprised. Just analyze what happened. Make some changes, and then try again. That's what success is. That's what it takes. Just analyze what happened, make adjustments, and then try again. But don't be surprised. Don't shut down. Don't think that there's just, you know, something wrong with you and you're never meant to be successful. None of that shit's true. None of it. If you want to be successful, you can be. You just have to keep analyzing what's not working. Be willing to try new things, and then continue to try and try again. So it took me 20 years to double my training max. It took me 10 years to figure out how to handle nutrition so I could properly get lean and build muscle at the same time. For business, it took 10 years to get to where I am now. I mean, years, we're talking about decades. Decades. And sometimes that's what it takes. I hope it doesn't take you decades, but that is what it takes sometimes. So I wish you the best of luck. I hope that whatever your goals are, you continue to analyze what's working and not working, and that you continue to try. You can be successful. Just stay with it. If you're struggling with motivation, you're struggling with knowing what to do next, just reach out or email us, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and I hope that you can get all the support you need from it, all the information you need from it. So reach out if there's anything that you do need. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please consider sharing the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. That's the whole goal. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast. The podcast is over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day. I'd love to keep it for free without a bunch of commercials and whatnot. So thank you very much to the patrons who are supporting that to make all of that possible. I truly appreciate it. If you want to support the podcast financially, you can do so at our website, www.brutalirongym.com. There's an option there for a one-time donation, monthly donation, yearly donation. Anything that you give whatsoever is going to go right to that hosting cost, just to help kind of decrease the loss on that end. But I really appreciate everybody's support. I really do thank you very much. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.